Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Good afternoon, and welcome into the Hoop Crew Hour. Again, as always, Chris Traficante broadcasting to you from the Hoop Crew Central offices. Before we get going, as always, if you guys want to check out any of our older podcasts, our podcast library, any of our articles that we have up, go to hoopcrewrundown.com. That's hcrundown.com. We have everything that you need covered from the Boston Celtics perspective, high school, college, recruiting, high school rankings. We have everything. So check us out, Hoop Crew Rundown or hcrundown.com. And again, we have everything you need from our podcasts and our articles in a big library store there. So go check it out there. But what I want to start with today is obviously the Cleveland Cavaliers' big blowout victory in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. You know, I think everybody expected Cleveland to play well in Game 3. I didn't know which way I wanted to lean because a part of me did think that Golden State did have an opportunity to win that game. But it didn't take long. You know, going into the game, I did think Cleveland was going to win. I kind of flip-flopped back and forth about what I thought was going to happen. And eventually I settled on I thought Cleveland was going to come out and respond and play really well in Game 3. And they did. If there's one guy you really don't want to bet against in today's NBA, it probably is LeBron James. You don't have to look too much further back. You know, we all remember Game 6 when the Celtics were playing the Heat 4 or 5 years ago now. Celtics were back home up 3-2. LeBron scored 40 points. I think he missed 3 shots in the game and brought it back to Miami, where Miami eventually won. So LeBron kind of has that instinct where he says, all right, we can't do this. And he kind of kicked it into high gear last night. But last night wasn't really just about LeBron James. You know, it was more about Kyrie Irving scoring 30 points, J.R. Smith scoring 20-plus, Tristan Thompson just rebounding the heck out of the ball and really playing great defense on Steph Curry. I know in our last podcast we said that Curry was really victimizing the Cleveland Bigs in the pick and roll in Golden State. He did it to Kevin Love numerous times. He did it to he even did it to Thompson a few times, but Thompson kind of responded to the challenge, was really the only big on the floor, and we'll get to Cleveland's lineup change in just a couple minutes here. But, you know, Cleveland back in this series, 2-1. Golden State still is in control of this series. I do think Golden State's going to get one in Cleveland. I don't see the series going back 2-2. Because I just think Golden State is too good of a team. You know, so to me, for Cleveland, the recipe was simple last night. I think that LeBron playing the four is a very good lineup for them. And the reason that I say that is he played the four a lot in Miami. A lot of times their lineups were Mario Chalmers, Dwayne Wade, Shane Battier, LeBron, and Chris Bosh. That's when Miami was successful. That's when Miami was winning. You look last night, Richard Jefferson kind of played that Shane Battier-type role. And they went from there. Now, they lacked the scoring of Chris Bosh, but the defense of Tristan Thompson helped to offset a little bit of what Golden State was looking to do. To me, I think people are making too big of a deal about the lineup change. Did it help? Yes, of course. Richard Jefferson played well. He was at home. I just don't think that this lineup change where you start Jefferson at the 3 and LeBron at the 4 is something you can start, play a lot of minutes, and hope that it's going to work, especially when you go back to Golden State. It's one thing. Role players always play better at home. That's the way it goes. So Richard Jefferson's going to play well at home. J.R. Smith's going to play well at home. But I still do think Golden State had an opportunity to go up 3-1. Look, I think game 4, you know, game 1 for whatever it was a pretty good game through 3 quarters. Golden State pulled away. Game 2 was a joke. Last night was really a joke. Game 4, I think, has the potential to be the best game of the series. You know, game 4, game 5 are kind of those swing games in the series most times. So I do think Cleveland, you know, they know what's at stake, and Golden State knows what's at stake. You know, Golden State, if they win game 4, they have an opportunity to win an NBA championship on their home floor. I think they understand that. Cleveland understands they can't go back to Golden State down 3-1 with the Warriors, you know, able to clinch a title at home. So I think a lot is on the line in game four. I think both teams are going to play like that. I think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson need to play better. That's obvious. It'll be interesting to see if Steve Kerr makes a similar lineup change as he did last year. He pulled Andrew Bogut last year. It'll be interesting to see if he goes back to that Bogut struggle last night with a smaller lineup for the Cavs. So a lot to think about as we head into game four. I think, you know, to me, a lot of people are making a big deal about Kevin Love. We'll talk a little bit more in depth about Kevin Love and where he stands towards the end of the show here. But to me, I think people are making too big of a deal about Kevin Love not playing and how well Cleveland played without Love. I think even if Love was in the game, I think Cleveland would have played well. They were shooting the ball too well from the outside. Everyone's making kind of that big statement, that big deal about the fact that Love's defense was holding the Cavaliers back, and I disagree. I think Love has been terribly miscast in Cleveland on offense. He's been relegated to essentially just a standstill three-point shooter. He's a floater is what it looks like. And when you're not actively involved offensively, your defense does tend to struggle. I'm not saying that that's okay. I'm not saying that's an excuse. But that's just the nature of the beast in the NBA today. So I think people are making too big of a deal about Kevin Love. I think if Kevin Love played last night, I still think Cleveland wins that game going away. So we can probably hop off of that bandwagon a little bit for sure. As far as game four goes, look, it's going to be, like I said, it's got potential to be the best game of the series. I think a lot rides on it. I think both teams know that. Both coaches know that. They're probably trying to make adjustments here and there. If I'm Cleveland, do I stick with what worked? What do you do with Love? Do you start him? I think you do start him because, you know, you have that lineup that you can go to in your back pocket anyway. You know, it's not something where, you know, starting in the NBA isn't like this big to-do. You know, Andre Iguodala doesn't start for the Warriors, but he plays major minutes. And looking at just the Celtics example, Evan Turner doesn't start, but he plays major minutes. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be looked at heading into game four. I don't really have a choice as to who I'm leaning towards right now. You know, I've said I think Golden State is going to get one win in Cleveland, so that would kind of mean I'm leaning more towards Golden State. But I wouldn't be shocked if Cleveland won. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if either team won, to be totally honest with you. I think 2-1, it's a meaningful series, and the team that makes more plays, is going to be up or, you know, is going to be feeling good about themselves after game four. So, to me, LeBron James, he's got to play the way he played last night. When his jump shot's falling, you know, I hate to say this because I've said Golden State has potential to finish off the best season in NBA history. They're a terrific team. But if LeBron James' jump shot is falling, it's game over. No one's beating the Cavaliers. No one. If LeBron's hitting his jump shot, that's it. You know, and last night he was hitting his jump shot, and the Cavaliers won by 30 points. You know, the Cleveland's defense was better last night. Their intensity was better last night. Everything was better. And if that carries over into game four, you know, I think that there's potential to be a very, very good game. I'm leaning towards the Warriors. My guess would be in game four, at least with the Vegas line, it'll probably be a pick 'em. So it just kind of comes down to what you're leaning towards. I just think Golden State knows what's at stake here. You know, the NBA has kind of become a lot about he wins on the home court, they win on the home court, that's it, you know, and there's no road wins, there's no toughness. Golden State is tough. They have a lot of mentally tough players and a mentally tough coach. So I could very easily see them winning game four, going up 3-1, but I could also see the Cavs winning and tying it up at 2-2, heading back to the Oracle Arena in Golden State. So definitely a lot of excitement for that game tomorrow night, 9 Eastern, ABC. That game is in Cleveland. We've talked a lot about players the Celtics should target and guys that could be on the Celtics radar and players that should interest the Boston Celtics. You know, that's kind of what we've been looking towards. The offseason hasn't begun. We haven't been able to really dissect any free agent signings, draft picks, legit trades, whatever it may be. So we've just kind of been speculating. You know, putting on our GM hat and speculating. A lot of people have been saying, and Chris Mannix is one of them, that if Cleveland loses the NBA Finals, that there will be a Kevin Love, quote, option. Now, if I'm the Celtics, you know, everyone's kind of started bringing it up to Kevin Love to Boston, back on the table. Danny Ainge loves Kevin Love. Stevens likes Kevin Love. You know, a lot of people have said, oh, Stevens would hate Love in the way he plays defense. It would just hurt the team. It would bring him down. Kevin Love is soft. Kevin Love isn't a top three player on a championship team. Kevin Love should come off the bench for this team. And I'm hearing all this, and I'm thinking to myself, are these people crazy? You know, Mark Bertrand, who does the midday show on 98.5 Sports, put out a poll this morning. Who would Celtics fans rather have, Dragan Bender or Kevin Love? It was Dragan Bender who won that poll in a landslide with over 57% of the votes. And I'm thinking to myself, how can you justify that? You know, and I heard this analogy earlier, and I thought it was a great one. Dragan Bender being a $10 scratch ticket, Kevin Love being a $100 bill. What do you pick? If someone's giving you a $10 scratch ticket or a $100 bill, what are you taking? Me, I'm taking a $100 bill and I'm rolling with it. You know, Kevin Love is the $100 bill. You know what he is. And I don't see why he couldn't get back to what he was 2 years ago in Minnesota. You know, like I had earlier said in the podcast here, I think he's terribly miscast in Cleveland. He's just a standstill floating three-point shooter. Three-point shooting is part of his game. He's a stretch four. He's a pick-and-roll big, a pick-and-pop big, and that's what makes him so deadly. He can score on the block. He's a good passer from the block. He's a very good rebounder. You know, people have said, oh, his numbers are just numbers. Somebody's got to score on a bad team like he did in Minnesota. And I just think you guys are crazy. You know, if Kevin Love was on this team as currently constituted, everybody back, including Kevin Love, you know, they might be challenging for the two seed in the East. You know, and maybe they're challenging Cleveland in the East. The Celtics so badly need somebody that can put the ball in the hoop, another go-to scorer when Isaiah Thomas is struggling, or Isaiah Thomas is bottled up. Kevin Love would be exactly what you need. A big that can stretch the floor, play your small lineups. He can play the five, he can play the four, he stretches the floor, he shoots the three, he plays in the post. You can put him anywhere, post him up the elbow, post him up the block. I mean, the offensive possibilities of Kevin Love are endless. The people that say, oh, I don't want him, he's too soft, he doesn't fit what the Celtics have built here, I think that's crazy. I think that's crazy. You'd be buying low, relatively low, on a player in Kevin Love. You know, I don't want to speculate what kind of package it would take. I know Cleveland was interested in Jay Crowder at the trade deadline. I felt like sent a trade offer to Cleveland at the deadline for Kevin Love, and it was a low-ball offer. But, you know, Kevin Love for Jay Crowder straight up, you know, you have to think about that. Kevin Love for Avery Bradley, you have to think about that. You know, I'm not saying it's a no-brainer pull the trigger, but you have to envision your team without one guy and plus this guy, and are you making yourself better? Is the swap making you better? You know, and who knows? Maybe Cleveland just said they're interested in picks. You know, Brian Windhorst of ESPN said that, you know, the Cavaliers wouldn't be interested in anyone the Celtics have on their team. You know, that they have no talent, and it would take Avery Bradley plus Jay Crowder for Kevin Love. I'm not sure I'm doing that deal. But, you know, maybe Cleveland's interested in the picks. Maybe you can just do number three for Kevin Love. And if that's the case, I'm doing that trade right now. Signing up for that trade right now. You know, I don't know if you're going to get anybody better than Kevin Love with the number three pick, you know, unless it's Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Marcus Cousins, who I've said I don't think is happening. But I think people have kind of jumped off the Kevin Love bandwagon, where 2 years ago it was all about Kevin Love. We had to have Kevin Love. He was the guy that was going to change the Celtics franchise. And now all of a sudden, that's it. Nobody wants Kevin Love anymore. You know, Kevin Love, remember, he's a guy who wants to be in Boston. He wanted to be here. He wanted to come here. He's interested in the city. He genuinely likes the city of Boston. You know, and people say, well, look at all the money he's making. He'll tie up the cap. There's not a line of free agents waiting to come through the door. You know, there's not Kevin Durant and you know, Russell Westbrook and Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. They're not looking to walk through the doors at the Garden, you know. So you need guys like Kevin Love. You know, you need guys that are good and can put the ball in the hoop and can help you and make your team better. And Kevin Love makes your team better instantly right now. And you got to think about Thomas and Love in the pick and roll. You know, Kevin Love needs a defender next to him with the five spot. You know, and that's fine. You know, maybe it's Amir Johnson. Maybe it's not Amir Johnson. Maybe it's Omer Asik. Maybe it's Alex Len out in Phoenix. Maybe it's Tyson Chandler out in Phoenix. You know, there's a lot of guys that can protect the rim and play defense. So, to me, if I'm the Celtics, I think you pull the trigger on that deal. You know, assuming it's not giving up a farm. You know, because I don't think you want to overpay for Kevin Love. But if the deal fits, I think you got to make that deal. Kevin Love is still a very good player in this league. He's an established all-star in this league. So you got to look to pull the trigger on a move like that. But that'll wrap it up for today. Again, talked a little bit about Game 3 last night. Talked about Game 4 tomorrow night. A little bit of Kevin Love in the Boston as well. Again, Game 4, Cavaliers-Warriors tomorrow night, 9 p.m. ABC. Check it out. We will talk to you guys soon. Again, draft coming up on June 23rd. So mark it down on your calendars. Big night to the Celtics. We will talk to you guys soon. Goodbye.